How do we reach our kinsmen in the flesh, our families, is the topic for the evening quickly. I'm going to give you a couple passages to consider, primarily from the book of Romans, but the first text in Esther chapter 8. Esther chapter 8, I want you to hear the conviction of this queen, yet this Jew who loved her people. Esther chapter 8, a letter had been written to seek the destruction of the Jews, and Esther, Mordecai being made aware of this in Esther chapter 8, notice verse 6. For Esther's conviction here is how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? She loved her people, yet she was in a hostile circumstance. Fast forward to the New Testament and consider the Apostle Paul, now Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus with letters from the high priest to continually condemn Christians to their death. He had just consented unto the death of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. But in Romans, the book of Romans in chapter 9, listen to the words of the Apostle Paul, now a Christian, a convert, one that yet still loved his family, his kinsmen in the flesh. Romans chapter 9, verse 1 and following, he says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. That'd be similar to me saying, I lie not against the truth. I say the truth in Christ. I know the word of the Holy Spirit. And with the Spirit's word in my heart, my conscience is clear. I speak. Does that make sense? I speak with a clear conscience based upon the word of God. Verse 2, I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Verse 3, I could wish that myself were a curse from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. And he goes on from this point, go to chapter 10, verse 1 and following. His words about his kinsmen, his family, his blood-related family. Chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They're ignorant in verse 3 of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. If you back up to chapter 9 again, you'll notice how Israel in verse 31, his family, his fleshly bloodline family, Romans 9:31. They follow after the law of righteousness. They've not attained to the law of righteousness. They held on to the law of Moses, which was a law, a tutor, he writes to the Galatians churches in Galatians 3:19 and Galatians 3:24, and says the law was a schoolmaster. It was a law. It was good. But it was to lead us to Christ, and they've rejected the Christ. Thus, they've rejected righteousness. So Paul here loves his family in the flesh. He loves his Jewish brethren, but they have rejected Christ. They have rejected the truth. They've rejected all that is right. Back up to chapter 1. How do we reach our loved ones, our kinsmen in the flesh, that we love so dearly that are not Christians? First point, real quick. These are quick. Chapter 1. Keying off the idea of righteousness there in chapter 9, verse 31, the righteousness of God has been revealed. Romans 1, verse 17. That revealed righteousness is found in the gospel, verse 16. The gospel is the power unto the power of God unto salvation for everyone. Point 2. Everyone, Jew or Gentile, is now amenable to this righteousness called the gospel. God is no respecter of persons in Romans chapter 2. How do I reach my kindred? I need to let them know God is no respecter. He doesn't show favor. I answer now. you answer to the one and true and living God. Could go back to chapter 1 and show them how nature itself doth teach that there's a God. There's no excuse to reject this God. Why would you live an immoral life? I can show them facts and evidences. That's what Paul's doing here in this book. How do we reach our kinsmen in the flesh? Again, I've got to show them the righteousness of God, number one. Number two, I've got to demonstrate that that righteousness is to everyone. He's no respecter of persons. And number three, look at chapter 3, verse 1. I need to talk about advantage. I need to talk about advantage. Paul poses a question, and he says in verse 1, what advantage then hath the Jew? That'd be his fleshly family. They had some advantage. Therefore, if they had advantage, what does that mean relative to excuses to reject God? We can talk about the advantages of life. Think about the practical application of that. We can talk about the status, where you're at in life, how good you have it. We can show people how good they've had it as a United States citizen, as a Texan. Boy, you got it good if you're a Texan. If you don't believe it, come talk to me. We need to show them advantage. We need to talk to them about advantage. This may be the most practical point because he answers the question and says, they had advantage. What kind of advantage did they have in verse 2? They had the Word of God. Now I can talk about them saying, you live in a free country. You have the rights and the privileges, and unlike the Chinese or the North Koreans, to read and to be enlightened. And if you have the ability to read and know the truth and be enlightened, like Paul said, I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience bearing witness with the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. Chinese can't do that hardly. They don't have the same advantage that you have in this country. My family, my kinsmen in the flesh need to understand advantage. Therefore, if you would not receive this word, having all the rights and privileges, then I may not be able to help you, but this is one tool I'm going to try to use. I'm going to try to help you and show you advantage. And then finally, as you analyze chapters 4 and 5, really to chapter 6, it's really a context about faith and obedience. How God is a God that seeks your faith and then your obedience. Now I want you to think about that as I close out. The God of heaven, the only true and living God, seeks your faith first, your belief, your trust. He wants you to see who he is, how wonderful he is, how powerful he is, how righteous he is. He wants you to believe that because you'll start to realize once you see him for who he is, then you'll start to realize how little you are. And really what you'll recognize is in Romans 3 verse 23 what Paul says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God is glorious. All of us are guilty of sin. That goes back to that second point. God's no respecter of persons. And so as Abraham is illustrated in chapter 4 as a man with faith, and we would walk in the same kinds or the steps of the faith that Abraham had, because Abraham, after all, when he was called out of the Ur of Chaldees, his family were all idolaters. His family. And yet God called him and said, Abraham, I want you to go to a land you've never seen before. And Abraham said, okay, let's go. By faith, now Abraham is convinced and he believes God has his heart. And now he's starting to become and is justified because he's obedient. And so Romans 6:17, when you get to chapter 6:17, Paul will kind of summarize and say, you have obeyed from the heart now that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of, what's he say? Righteousness. If I'm going to get after my kinsmen in the flesh, I looked at that book today and I thought about Paul's words and how he did it. And that's how he did it. That's a divine pattern. And I thought about that. That would probably work. You know, that's a good idea, Paul. The Holy Spirit, thank you. We've got natural evidences in chapter 1. Righteousness of God is made known. There's no excuses. Number 2, God's no respecter of persons. He loves us all equally. He loves us all. We're all now amenable to the gospel. Number 3, let's talk about advantage. Let's use advantage. Let's talk about your status, where you're at. And start getting you to count your blessings and name them one by one and start to realize how good you have it. And now turn your heart by faith and give glory to God because you recognize you're a sinner. And by faith, you will obey the gospel for sure. Surely they'd want to obey the gospel. Your appetite's been whetted and you want to do what's right. I think those four practical examples help me better understand how to talk to people today to try to reach my kinsmen in the flesh that are not Christians. If you're here and you never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we want to certainly encourage you to think about what you're missing out on, how glorious God is and how righteous He is, and recognize who you are. God being no respecter of persons, He looks at all of us the same. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Are you willing to, by faith, repent of your sins, humble yourself, and serve the only true and living God, the righteous God, who gives us a righteous gospel that's the power of God into salvation? Obey that message from your heart. If we can help you make that decision tonight and become a Christian by being baptized for the remission of your sins, why don't you let us know then, as together we stand and we sing, won't you come?